We were talking when I we opened fellowship. I mentioned to you the Olympics and what their goal was. The athletes that participate in the Olympics, their goal is to win a gold medal, right? And we're going to talk about what measures success. What measures success? And that's the title of my sharing, A Measure of a Person's Success. Now, to answer that question, you can have a lot of different answers. You know, what is success to you? And it could be a lot of different things. And aren't we all, as human beings, want to have a sense of success? We want to have fulfillment. We want to have purpose. So we reach out, we act, we find out what we can do so that we can have success in our life. And so it's interesting to see in all categories of life what it means to have success. Now, in general, what would you say measures success? What is probably the first thing somebody's going to say in this world that marks success?
Money.
Cash money. How much money do you have? The richest person in the world is the most successful person in the world. I mean, that's how we measure success, or the world does. What about property ownership? You know, I have 3 cars, 2 houses, a condo, and another condo in Hawaii. Yeah, isn't that? Come, there we go. Success by the property that we own. What else measures success for us? What about power, authority that we have? If I was a congressman, man, I got some authority here. Or if I was a senator or even the president, you know, that is success because of why? The power and authority represented by that individual. What about your connections? Maybe you're not the president, but if you have connections to them, that can be successful, right? Well, someone once said, and I think this is probably for us as born-again ones, is the greatest measure of a person's success. And this is the measure of a person's success is their obedience to God. Their obedience to God. Now let's think about that. Think about that. You and I believe God's word, right? God's word, our Heavenly Father has made that available for us so that we can know Him, that He can provide for us. So to believe Him, to obey Him, can open the door for great success to us. God made us, didn't He? He invented us. He invented life. He invented aspirations. He invented us the ability to think and to have fulfillment and purpose in our lives. And so He wants us to have success. And He's provided for us the ultimate success that any man or woman could really have. And when you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, I think you've become the most successful person you could be. Because you're born again of God's Spirit. You have eternal life, the hope of Christ's return. You've got Christ in you. You identify fully with Him. That's pretty successful. Hey, I would love to win a gold medal in the Olympics, but I'm thankful for the success I have because of what our Heavenly Father has made available for us. And realizing that, I want to continue to move ahead in my life so that I can experience that great success with our Heavenly Father. You know, this world is very consuming, isn't it? I mean, with the COVID thing going on and you think it's going to be over and now something else comes along, all this stuff is happening. And the God of this world is doing His job pretty good, isn't He? And so it's very easy for us to get consumed and involved in the things of this world. But you and I, according to the Word of God, are not of this world, right? We're seated where? Point Loma Assembly. No, we're seated at the right hand of God, right? Yes. You know, and when life is over, what's left? Eternal life with the Heavenly Father. I mean, I think life will really start then, huh? Yeah, we at Agape Now in Ocean Beach, where we hand out water and pray for people. Yesterday I was talking to a guy, and he was so proud that he could talk about Buddha and all these other people that provide philosophies to life, and there's so many wonderful things out there. And I asked him, well, what is truth? Well, depends on who you talk to. What is truth? And I had the privilege to say God's word is the truth. If you want success in your life, you got to come to God Almighty through a knowledge of His word. And he kind of blew me off, but that's his opportunity, right? I did my job. And we have that privilege to hold forth the words of life. Yeah, amen. So what we choose to obey really is critical in our life. Are we going to obey the news? Are we going to obey what the world is throwing at us, what the adversary has influenced in our things of this world? Are we going to buy in on that, or are we going to buy in on the Word of God? Yeah, that's what we want to do. We want to obey God. Now, in the beginning, we have who? Adam and Eve. And they just had a great life together, didn't they? In the garden and all these wonderful things going on. One thing God told them not to do. Everything else is open. You can have a blast in your life. Go for it. But don't do this one thing. So what do you think they did?
Of course.
They had to do that thing. They had to sin. So, and they suffered the consequences. Not only they did, but all mankind did, right? Yeah. So they did that one thing. They didn't fully obey God. You know, there's a church sign on this particular church, and it's a reflection of Adam and Eve's disobedience. But this is what the sign said. Adam and Eve, the first people not to read the terms and condition of their apple.
Yeah, we just checked that box.
All right. Computer folks, you get it, maybe. If you're not computer savvy, maybe it's over your head. So, unfortunately, this one act of disobedience had some very difficult or very drastic consequences, didn't it? Well, let's go to the Word of God. I'm going to go to Romans chapter 5 first. So let's go to Romans chapter 5. So here in chapter 5, verse 17, it says, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one..." Now, who are they talking about here?
Same guy.
Adam, yeah, that fella. Adam, by one man's offense, death reigned by one. Much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall do what?
Reign in life.
By who? By one, Jesus Christ. See? Isn't that, that's quite a contrast, right? But we have the opportunity to reign in life. God wants us to be successful reigning in life through Jesus Christ. Well, verse 18, "Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men, the condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners," I mean, God's repetition here is making a point, I trust, "so by the obedience of one shall many be made" what?
Righteous.
Jesus Christ was obedient He obeyed God's word. He trusted God. You know, and I know that word obedience may have somewhat of a negative connotation. You know, you got to obey. But look at it in a really, in a more positive sense. You and I have the privilege to trust in the words of God. Now, how is it easier to trust a lie or to trust the truth? I mean, yeah, the truth, you would think, right? Well, the old adversary does all he can to get you to believe in a lie, doesn't he? He's a great liar. But you and I, man, if we can steel our brain, our minds, to obey the truth, just believe the truth. Take God's word as it is. God's word. Okay, let's go back to Genesis here, okay? Because we're going to look at some examples of, and there's many of them, really, in the Old Testament, of people obeying God or disobeying God. So what about Noah? Boy, during that time, he was about the only one that was righteous before God, right? So we know about Noah, and then came Abraham a little later on, Genesis 12, if you would like to go there in your Bibles, Genesis 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show you. Okay, so Abraham's, he's used to living where he at. He knows his neighbors, the neighbors know him. He's comfortable. But what happened? God says, go, move, go somewhere else. Verse 2, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. You know, it takes a lot to move to a place that you're very comfortable with, and then all of a sudden you're going to a new place. But what's the promise of God? You're going to get blessed. You're going to be, your name will be great. Verse 3, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram, what did he do? He departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. So Abram did what God told him to do. He obeyed. And Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. So there he goes. Later on, Abram has some kids, right? Who was the child, the promised seed? Came through Isaac, yes, Isaac. So he's going up to do a sacrifice. Isaac's with him. So Genesis 22. Let's see what happens here. I think you're familiar with this story a little bit. And I'm jumping in verse 16. And said, by myself have I sworn, said the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son. So he's taking his son up there with the idea that he may be the sacrifice. And he was ready to do it. You know, this wasn't God's intent, but Abram was ready. That in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed, as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. You know, Abraham was blessed because he obeyed the voice of God. When people obey, they get blessed. When they do God's word, when they trust in God's word, when they say, yes, Lord, this is who I am. This is what the word says. I believe it. That's it. That's it. Deuteronomy 28, great verse here. Two verses, actually. that reflect a great exhortation of God to obey Him and follow His voice. So Deuteronomy 28, verse 1, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all His commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God." Now, we want to get to the point that we hearken to the voice of our Heavenly Father. Our relationship with Him is very different than they had in the Old Testament, isn't it? We have God as a loving Heavenly Father. He does talk to us. He really does. That's why we have Holy Spirit in us. That's why we have the manifestation of word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and those kind of things. So God can talk to us. And man, we want to hearken to His voice. And when we do, we will see the many blessings. Really. But if they didn't obey, look what happens. Verse 15. You're still in Deuteronomy 28? Verse 15. "But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all of His commandments and His statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee." So there's the contrast there. That's the Old Testament. And we can go through the Old Testament. There's many examples of people disobeying God, missing the mark because they didn't hearken to God's voice. Can you think of any things that come to mind? What about Samson and Delilah? Was it? Yeah. Samson suffered from that. Saul? Yeah, we talked about that last week a little bit. He conferred not with God, but with the witch of Endor. Yeah, that didn't go very well with him. David made some mistakes, but he got back. He got back in the saddle, didn't he? He did. Solomon, boy, did he have a great beginning, didn't he? You know, God was going to bless him and everything. What do you want, Solomon? You name it, you got it. And he wanted to judge his people righteously. Pretty neat, huh? But then later on, what happens? Too many wives. Way too many wives. Now that's not smart, is it? Yeah. Well, thankfully the Lord Jesus Christ came on the scene, right? Yes, yes, He came on the scene. Let's go to Philippians. Let's go to a section in God's Word that's written to us that we can really lock into, be excited about, be thankful for. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8. "And being found in fashion as a man," Jesus Christ, "He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name." Jesus Christ was obedient even unto death. And because He did that, you and I benefit greatly, don't we? We get to use that name that's above every name. That's right. Hebrews 5. Let's go to Hebrews 5. Hebrews 5, our Lord and Savior obeyed. He did the will of the Father, and because of that, you and I benefit greatly. Verse 8, Hebrews 5, 8, "Though He were a son, yet learned He obedience by the things which He suffered or experienced," is the probably better translation there. "And being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that" what? "Obey." "That obey Him." He learned obedience. Jesus Christ, He learned it. You and I, we need to learn to trust in God, to take God at his word, to believe his word. So, you know, how are we going to respond to God's matchless word? How are we going to live a life that's a blessing to our Heavenly Father? Well, let's take a look at Romans chapter 6. A couple more verses here, a few more verses. This is where we get to step in to obey God, to believe him, to really experience success in our life. Because success through Jesus Christ is what stands, which makes all the difference in the world. So Romans 6:10, for in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves. Now this is the Southern version where you got to reckon, right?
Reckon.
Yeah.
Reckon later.
What that means is come to the conclusion. All right? Likewise, you come to the conclusion that you yourselves are dead what? Unto sin. So are you dead to sin?
Yeah.
Hey, if somebody brings up something you did in the past, and it's already been dealt with, how are you going to deal with that? Is that going to spoil your success in the future? It shouldn't. It could if you let it. But sin, we're dead to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Let's don't even go there. We get tempted, don't we? We're going to screw up. We're going to get tempted, but we can say no. We say no. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. Now, have you ever died before? Don't answer that. You probably haven't. But if you did, and then somebody got you up alive, how would you respond to that? Oh, what a bummer. No! You have a new lease on life. No, you're alive from the dead. Oh, my goodness. A new lease on life. But see, this is how we should be acting. Like we're alive from the dead. And your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. See, you and I are successful already because of what Jesus Christ did for us. We just need to confess that. We need to obey the truth of God's word, that who we are in Christ. It's easier to obey the truth than a lie. We already talked about that, right? Well, here's God's direction. This is a great verse. This is my last verse. 2 Corinthians 10:5. I think some of you probably know what this verse is. 2 Corinthians 10:5. This is a classic one you want to really hang on to. This should be your model, because you want success in your life, right? I do too. And our success is going to come from believing God's word. So here it is, 10:5, 2 Corinthians, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against what? The knowledge of God. What do we do with those kind of things? We just cast them down. We get rid of the...
Step on them,
that's good too. Bury them, get rid of them. Anything that holds you back from the knowledge of God. And, we're not done yet, and bringing into captivity every thought. Every thought I bring into captivity, I grab my mind on every thought that it's to what? The obedience of Christ. Isn't that fantastic? That's what we get to rise up to. God will always have something bigger for us to rise up to. Don't let the devil say to you, oh, you haven't really risen up to what God said you can be. But you know, you've risen so far, right? We've gotten this far in our life, right? We are where we are today. And we have the privilege to believe God's word to be even better tomorrow and then the next day. We've come a long way. Don't let the devil sell you short, but be encouraged. Be encouraged that you can, all right, today I'm going to grab my mind. My thoughts are going to be to the obedience of Christ. Now, who is Christ? He's the Son of God, right? Who are we? We are sons of God too. Christ in us. So what does God's word say? We are dead with Christ. We died with him. We were buried with him. We were raised with him. We're at the right hand of God with him. Those are the things we hang on to. We believe, right? It's Christ in us. I can do how many things? All things through Christ who strengthens me. That's what I want to confess. I want to obey that verse right there. We're more than conquerors through him that loved us. True success comes from obeying the Father. What is his will? What is God's will? Well, I know one place it says God's will is that all men be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. So anything that you can do to help people get saved or born again, the angels will really appreciate it. The angels are looking for parties. Well, it says in God's word, when somebody, one person gets born again, what do the angels do? They rejoice. They party. So they're always hoping that you and I will help somebody get born again so they can party. See? So this is what we get to do. Can you think of anything more successful than to help somebody get born again of God's Spirit, get eternal life? You can't. You can't get anything better than that. See, we got to get our mind thinking God's word. What's the framework of my life in Christ? Not what's my life in this world, but what it is in Christ. We're ambassadors. We are ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. We share a little bit of the truth of God's word. That goes a long way. Goes a long way. Yeah. You can win gold medals for the USA, but true success is to win people to the Lord, to be ambassadors for him. Isn't that neat? So, I think about, you know, life is a challenge. I get it. I get it. I mean, I think about Joseph, though. I think Joseph in the Old Testament is a good example. I mean, he was a godly man. He was a young man. What did his brothers do? Sold him. Yeah, they wanted to kill him. So they sell him to some folks. He goes down to Egypt. And now, how do you think, what's going on in this guy's mind? Here he's, you know, he's tries to believe God and walk with God, but now his brothers almost kill him. They sell him into Egypt. Now he's working for the Potiphar, right? And Potiphar's wife, you know, messes, gets involved. And what happens to Joseph? He goes to prison for a few years. He's innocent and everything. But how come? That's not fair. But did Joseph complain? I'm sure he was upset about the thing. But he hung in there. He endured. He still trusted in his God. And even when he had those dreams with the baker and the, what was it, the baker and the cup server, yeah. And he helped one guy, you know, lost his life as a result, and the other one was returned to his job with the king, the Pharaoh. And he said, hey, tell Pharaoh, you know, get me out of here. What happened? He forgot. So he was in jail for another year or two. I don't know how long it was, several years. Finally, the timing, God's timing, there it was. Pharaoh had a dream. Who could interpret it? Joseph did. All of a sudden, Joseph is what? The second in command of the strongest country in the world at that time, Egypt. He hung in there. You know, and we've got things sometimes in life. We just need to hang in there. Just have that endurance. God's word talks about that endurance. Just Continue to stay the course, because there's nothing better than God's word believed. Nothing better than God's word believed. So stay the course. So I got a question for you to close out here. What is the measure of a person's success? Being obedient to the Heavenly Father God. Yeah. So we're going to be our best for Him, right? All right. So Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege we have to be your kids, to be born again of your Spirit, that we can take on any and everything that comes our way because we're your sons and we can take them on, Father. We thank you for working within us to bless us, to protect us, Father, and just to work with us as we do our best for you, Father. So I thank you for God's people here and for continuing to bless them and take care of them, Father, that we can have success in our lives because we believe in you. And we thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Well.